And my task today is to share with you a particular quote that is taken from a sermon and talk given in Australia. It's called the Avondale quote as we know it. Let's read the quote in its context, because it is an issue of context. A lot of these quotes are taken out of context, and so it helps us when we put the quote, or that which is taken out and presented to us, back in its native environment, in the context that it was written. So we're going to read the whole paragraph that this quote is taken from, and then we're going to go back and look at what it does say and what it doesn't say. And then we're going to look at some scripture testimony and some spirit of prophecy testimony to help us understand what it's saying. So let's begin by reading. It says, the Lord says this, and she just finished quoting Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, for your information. When the Lord says, I beseech thee, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. She says, the Lord says this because he knows it is for our good. He would build a wall around us to keep us from transgression, so that his blessing and love may be bestowed on us in rich measure. This is the reason we have established a school here. The Lord instructed us that this is the place in which we should locate, and we have had every reason to think that we are in the right place. We have been brought together as a school, and we need to realize that the Holy Spirit, who is as much a person as God is a person, is walking through these grounds, unseen by human eyes, that the Lord God is our keeper and helper. He hears every word we utter and knows every thought of the mind. And that is the quote, the paragraph, in its complete context. Now, one thing you will notice that I have highlighted in this quotation, the subject with its appropriate pronouns that relate back to it, the relative pronouns. Who is the subject of this paragraph? The Lord. When we say the Lord, whom do we speak? The Lord Jesus, of course. Notice it says the Lord, and then he again, then his, then the Lord is repeated again. And then after this is where she says the Holy Spirit, or we need to know or realize that the Holy Spirit is as much a person as God is a person. And in the light of the context, let's look at what this paragraph does say. First off, we note that the Lord referred to, according to the context of this quote, is none other than the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, the Lord's messenger therefore admonishes his people with the thought that it is he, Jesus, who was instructing, directing, and guiding his people in the establishment of the Avondale School. Number three, it is easy to lose sight of the fact that the Lord, as an unseen guest, leads, directs, and comforts his people by his Holy Spirit, called the Comforter. And number four, this, we believe, is why the Lord's messenger uses such language as is found in the aforementioned quote. Now, with that said, it behooves us to note what the paragraph does not say. And this is very simple. It does not say that the Holy Spirit is a third being beside the Father and the Son. It does not say that. But what does it say? Well, let's look at what the scripture testimony adds to this to help us understand what she may have meant when she said this unseen guest who walked in their midst, whom she called the Holy Spirit. Let's note a few scripture texts. Matthew 28, verse 20. The very last verse of the Gospel of Matthew says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now my question, who said this?
Jesus.
Who was promised to be with his church always, even unto the end of the world?
Jesus.
Okay? There's one testimony. Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Let's note what is written here. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, who is the Son of Man?
Jesus
again. Where is he seen? In the midst of seven golden candlesticks, which if you read in verse 20, you find those candlesticks represent the church as a whole, or the seven churches, which we know and understand to be a representation of the whole church throughout its entire history. Who is seen walking in the midst of his church? Unseen?
Jesus.
Let's look at another scripture testimony. John 14:18, which was quoted yesterday. Jesus, speaking, says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Again, we might say this could tie in with Matthew 28:20. Essentially, we have the same promise. Now, let's look at some sound counsel, because we're going to look at some of Sister White's comments that relate in a similar theme as to what we just looked at. She gives us this counsel in understanding what she believed and what she meant in her writings. She says, "If you desire to know what the Lord has revealed through her," speaking of herself in the third person, she says, "read her" what? "Published works." Now you'll notice that this quote is found in a manuscript release. It was a transcript of a sermon she gave. Transcriptions are not always accurate. That doesn't mean that's not what she said, but it means that it was nothing that was published in her lifetime. So if you want to understand what she meant in this, look at what was published in her lifetime. Find things that are similar, that say something very similar to it, to get a mean idea of what she may have meant. Don't simply use your wild imagination to put into it your own thoughts. So let's look at a couple statements that Sister White made in correlation with this quote. The first is found in Testimonies for the Church, one of her published works, the fifth volume, page 435. Paragraph 1, she says this: "There is an unseen witness." Now you notice same or very, very similar language to that which she said in Avondale. "There is an unseen witness to every action of life." She quotes, "I know thy works, says he that walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." Now, who is she speaking of?
Jesus.
She continues, "It is known what opportunities have been slighted, how untiring have been the efforts of the good shepherd to search out those who were wandering in crooked ways, to bring them back to the path of safety and peace." So here we have a passage that correlates with what she said at Avondale. Who was that unseen guest? It was none other than Jesus. Let's look at one more. See if we can shore this up a little bit. This is taken from The Desire of Ages. We all know this is a published work. Page 669. Notice what she says here. Now here she correlates this directly with the Holy Spirit. She says, "The Holy Spirit is Christ's representative, but divested of the personality of humanity and independent thereof. Cumbered with humanity, Christ could not be in every place." How? Personally. By the Spirit, the Savior would be accessible to all. And then this final thought, beginning the next paragraph, she says, "He comforts them with his own presence." Who is this honored guest that was with them at the Avondale School, walking with them, unseen as the guest there? I believe, according to her writings and the testimony we have in the scripture, that it could be none other than Jesus Christ. Now, if you read this quote carefully, there's one other fact that weighs in heavily. And notice that it says that the Holy Spirit, which is Christ's representative, was divested of humanity. It was divested of it. Now, if you know what the word divested means, it means to take off a vest. That's what divested means. Now, can you take off a vest you never put on? No. You have to first put on a vest to be divested. When a priest or a ruler is divested, that means their royal or official garment is removed from them. It first had to be put on. When Christ divests himself of the high priestly garment and dons the garment of a king, he first had to have put that high priestly garment on. Now, the individual that is here spoken of, the Holy Spirit, that was divested of humanity, could only be one that first invested in humanity. And there's only one person, one divine being that is recorded in all Scripture that was ever said to be invested in humanity through the incarnation, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would invite all those who would be critics, all those who are honest in heart, who wish to really understand what is being said, let's be careful with our context. Let's look carefully. Let's search. Gather all the evidence that you can get your hands on and weigh the evidence. Don't let one simple quote, or maybe one quote that you can't understand or interpret, don't let that interpret the vast majority of others that are plain and clear. But as in deciding anything, gather all the evidence, weigh it, and then go with that which tips the balance. And allow that which tips the balance to interpret that which you can't understand. Because there will always be things that our minds cannot understand. But God has given sufficient evidence for us to know the truth and to believe it. Thank you.